Hello, everybody. This is Chocolate Milk. And Tiana.
And tonight we'll be talking about Black Lives Matter movement, and we'll have a throwback of all black artists.
I'll be playing throwback, you know, it's going to be Throwback Tuesday. So I'm just going to be playing throwback songs from African American artists to go along with our theme tonight. So, Tiana, I just got one question for you.
What's that?
Why are you always lying?
I'm not. Yeah. Come on. Dance for me, baby. Yeah. Uh-oh, you feel that? Like? All right. Come on. Don't stop now. You done did it. Come on. Yeah. Alright, hold up. Baby, when we're grinding, that's right. I get so excited. Oh, how I like it. I try, but I can't fight it. Yeah. Oh, you're dancing real close. Plus, it's real, real slow. You know what you're doing, don't you? You're making it hard for me.
Oh, the song's on you, requested. You're dancing like you're naked. Oh, it's almost like we're sexing. I like it. No, I can't deny it. But I know you can tell I'm excited. Oh, girl.
Step back, you're dancing kind of close. I feel a little boom coming through on you.
Now, girl, I know you felt it. But boy, you know I can't help it. You know what?
All right, that was Too Close by Next. And the next song is going to be No Diggity by Blackstreet and Dr. Dre.
Hey! Yeah. You know what? I like the playoffs. No diggity, no doubt. Play on, play out. Play on, play out. Yo, Dre, drop the verse. It's going down, fades of Blackstreet. The homies got at me, collab creations. Bump like agony, no doubt. I put it down, never slouch. As long as my credit can vouch, a dog couldn't catch me, say. Some people could stop with Dre making moves, attracting honeys like a magnet. Giving them orgasms with my mellow accent. Still moving this flavor with the homies Blackstreet and Teddy, the original rough shakers.
Shutting it down, good lord. Baby got them open all over town. Strictly bitch, you don't play around. Cover much grounds, got game by the pound. Getting paid is a forte. Each and every day, true play away. I can't get her out of my mind.
Wow.
I think about the girl all the time.
Wow.
East side to the west side, pushing fat rides, it's no surprise. She got tricks in the stash, stacking up the cash, fast when it comes to the gas. By no means average, it's on when she's got to have it. Baby, you're a perfect 10. I wanna get in, can I get down? So I like the way you work it.
No diggity,
I got to bag it up.
Bag it up.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity,
I got to bag it up.
Bag it up.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity,
I got to bag it up.
Bag it up.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity,
I got to bag it up.
Get up.
She's got class and style, she knowledge by the pound. Baby never act wild, very low key on the profile. Catching feelings is a no. Let me tell you how it goes. Herbs the word, spins the verb. Lovers it curves, so freak what you heard. Rolling with the fatness, you don't even know what the half is. You got to pay to play, just for shorty bang bang to look your way. I like the way you're working, trump tight all day, every day. You're blowing my mind, maybe in time, baby, I can get you in my ride.
I like the way you're working,
no diggity,
I got to bag it up.
Bag it up.
I like the way you're working,
no diggity,
I got to bag it up.
Oh, oh,
up.
Yeah.
I like the way you're working,
no diggity,
I got to bag it up.
Bag it up, babe.
I like the way you're working,
no diggity.
From New York City to Black Street. What you know about me? Now don't be for the thing. Cartier wooded frame sported by my shorty. As for me, icy gleaming pinky diamond ring. We bees to buy this click up on this scene. Ain't you getting bored with these fake boards? How shows improves, no doubt. I've been thinking so. Please excuse if I come across rude. That's just me. And that's how a player's got to be. Stay kicking game with a capital G. Ask the peoples on my block. I'm as real as can be. Word is born. Faking moves never been my thing. So Teddy, pass the word to your nigga Chauncey. I'll be sending a call, let's say around 3:30. Queen Pen
no
and Black.
No diggity, no doubt, baby.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity,
I got the bag.
Girl, you got it going on.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity,
yeah.
The rent, no doubt. Yeah. Play on, play it. Play on, play it. Play on, play on, play on, play on. Cause I like it. Ride. No diggity.
No doubt. Yeah. Black Street Productions. We out. We out. Ride. We out. We out. We out.
All right, that was No Diggity by Blackstreet and Dr. Dre. Okay, we're going to go ahead to go to the next song. It is Creep by TLC.
Yes. It's me again. And I'm back.
Creep by TLC. I'm going to play one more song for you guys before Tiana and our guest, Jeremy, start talking about our topic for tonight's show, Black Lives Matter. And the next song before that will be Hypnotized by Biggie. And just a forewarning that it has explicit content, so.
Sicker than your average, pop a twist cabbage off instinct. Niggas don't think jits, think pink gators. My Detroit players, Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn. That's dead right, hit the head right, Biggie there, and I. Papa been school since days of under rules. Never lose, never choose to. Bruce Cruz who? Do something to us, talk, go through us. Girls want to us, wanna do us, screw us, who us? Yeah, Papa and Pop. Close like Starsky and Hutch, stick to clutch. Yeah, I squeeze three at your cherry M3. Bang every MC easily. Recently, frontin' ain't saying nothing, so I just speak my peace. Keep my peace, Cubans with the Jesus peace. With my peace, packing, asking who want it. They got it, flaunt it, that Brooklyn bull, we on it.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. I guess that's why they're broken, you're so vain. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. I guess that's why they're broken, you're so vain.
I put O's in NY onto DKNY. Miami, D.C., prefer Versace.
That's right.
All Philly hoes know it's Moschino. Every cutie with the booty for the coochie. Now who's the real dookie? Meaning who's really the shit? Ride this, Frank White push the stick on the Lexus LX, 4.5 bulletproof glass tits if I want some ass. Gon' blast squeeze first, ask questions last. That's how most of these so-called gangsters pass. At last, rapping about blunts and broads, is them bras, menage a trois, sex and expensive cars. I still leave you on the pavement. Condo paid for, no car payment. At my arraignment, no for the cleaning. The daughter's tied up in the Brooklyn basement. Face it, not guilty. That's how I stay true. Richer than richer, so you is coming here.
Come on.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. I guess it's why they're broken, you're so vain. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. I guess it's why they're broken, you're so vain.
I can fill you with real millionaire shit. That's cargo, my cargo, 160, swiftly. Wreck it by a new one. The crew run, run, run. The crew run, run, run. I know you sick of this lame brand. With flows, girl, say he's sweet like licorice. So get with this, it's easy. Girlfriend, here's a bit. Call me round 10, come through, have sex on rough, that's Persian.
That's right.
Come up to your job, hit you while you're working, for certain. Papa freaking, not speaking, leave the ass leaking like rapper demo. Tell them who, take their clothes off slowly. Kill them with the force like Kobe, dick black like Kobe. Watch me roam like Roman. Lucky they don't owe me, where to say, show me, homie.
Homie.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. I guess that's why they're broken, you're so vain. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. I guess that's why they're broken, you're so vain. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. I guess that's why they're broken, you're so vain. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. I guess that's why they're broken, you're so vain. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. I guess that's why they're broken, you're so vain.
Have you ever feared walking down the street, the sight of an authoritative figure like the police? Have you ever been watched closely while shopping or pulled over for no reason? If you've said yes to all of these things, or you've had the fear of all of these things happening to you, then you probably make up the 13.2% of the U.S. population. Tonight's topic is about living while black and the experience of racism, whether it be the institutional or blatant. It's about the Black Lives Matter movement. The movement was co-founded by three black activists, Alicia Garza, Patrice Cullors and Opal Tometi. With us tonight to talk about this subject is Jeremy Griffin Jackson, a dance theater major who lives in Cal, Citizen of the World House, and a black male of 19 years. Before we begin the discussion, I have compiled a list of lives lost that have helped fuel this movement via social media. They include Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, Eric Gardner, Walter Scott, Tamara Rice, Sandra Bland, Samuel DeBose, Eric Harris, Emmanuel Nine, Freddie Gray, Tony Robinson, Megan Hockaday, DeAndre Hamilton, John Crawford III, and many, many more. So, Jeremy, what do you think of, how do you feel when people call the Black Lives Matter movement a enhancement on playing the race card?
I think it's kind of funny, actually. The race card is something that people made up in order to justify their own wrongdoings. They want to make it seem like it's something not wrong with what they're doing. So they made this term to coin it, to make it seem like, oh, they're just dredging up something that's 100 years old and doesn't matter anymore. The Black Lives Matter is way more than that, because although it's Black Lives Matter, it doesn't exclude any other group. It's just saying that there needs to be focus on this one subset of lives, because it's constantly being ignored and brutalized. So saying that the Black Lives Matter movement is a part of the race, is pulling the race card, is just ignorant and, yeah, unwise.
I would have to agree, because race is simply a social construction. And what I mean by that is race has been a thing that the dominant group, which is white or Caucasians, however they want to locate themselves, has made in relation to themselves. So white versus other, and so other is every other race, Latinos, blacks, Asians, and whatever have you, and it ranks them based on how close to white you are. To continue that conversation, I will post an article about, or several articles about, the formation of race in the U.S. Let's see. Another thing about the Black Lives Matter movement that has been talked about a lot recently was the interruption of political candidates, mainly Bernie Sanders. Do you want to speak on that?
Yeah, I have kind of mixed feelings about it. Bernie Sanders has along his political campaign, and for like all of his time being in politics, has been for minority groups. And I appreciate that the Black Lives Matter movement decided to, you know, make a stand doing something that was important so that people would pay attention. But I feel like they did it to the wrong candidate, being that that candidate was up there to fight for people who do things like the Black Lives Matter movement. So to disrupt that man while he was trying to, you know, run for office and possibly do better for our people was kind of rude. I understand why they were doing it, but so many mixed emotions about it. I feel like it could have been done better at a better time. They could have probably had a conversation with him and like, hey, can we say something after you're done talking so that we can get further this message and actually come in conjunction with him so that the movement could be better. Because although black people are trying to come together as a whole and as a community, having somebody who's already in a position of power to back you and sponsor you even makes your cause even greater. So instead of going against him and interrupting him, they should have worked with him and made it even a grander protest.
So when the one woman who had interrupted Bernie Sanders said in response to the question of why did you interrupt Bernie Sanders during one of his political rallies, her answer was that she did it because he hasn't focused on the Black Lives Matter movement as well as the various things that the Black Lives Matter movement stand for, such as money for like education in poor neighborhoods and other things that directly affect the lives of Blacks as well as Latinos and other people in poor communities. So do you disagree with her having said that she did that so that way he could focus on it and answer the questions that he hasn't been answering or avoiding answering? Or do you still stand by the fact that she should have gone about it a different way?
Still stand by the fact that I feel like she should have gone about it a different way. He's on a campaign trail. There are so many points that you can hit before people stop listening. I understand that the Black Lives Matter movement is something that's very important and very pertinent to our country at this point in time. But also, he has other things that he has to worry about on the campaign trail, because there are people who are worried about the financial situation of the U.S. There are people who are worried about having jobs and things of that matter. And although the Black Lives Matter movement touches on that, it's not all-encompassing, so he has to focus on what is going to be best for him in a location that he's at. So where he's going on his campaign trail, it would be easier for him to talk about this and that versus this and that because of the audience he's talking to. So if he were to, like I said, if they were to come in conjunction with him and probably like wrote him a letter or something beforehand saying that they wanted to do this on in conjunction with him, or after he was done, or bring it to his attention without being disruptive, that's fine with me. That's the same issue I had with the trans person who interrupted President Obama. I think that's what that was. He is the president of the United States. He is given an address. He deserves all amount of respect that is given for the president of the United States. I understand that you have a cause. I understand that your cause is important, but you cannot interrupt the president as he's in the middle of a speech, because that shows other countries that we do not even respect the people we put into office. And that shows a sign of weakness, and it also shows that we are not as whole of a community as we seem to other cultures and communities and countries. So we all need to focus on important issues, but at the same time prioritize when we do those things, because yes, being disruptive and being noisy and being loud is one way to get your message out, but also doing it at the wrong time and doing it to the wrong people can ruin your cause and be a detriment to it and to a whole community.
Okay. How do you feel when the response to Black Lives Matter has been for some people to say that all lives matter? How does that make you feel as a Black person living in the United States? And two, what do you see wrong with that response?
I touched on it earlier when I was talking about the Black Lives Matter movement. It's not exclusionary. It's not saying that, oh, only Black Lives Matter. It's saying that we need to focus on this subset of people because they have not been focused on for so long. I don't feel any way towards people who say all lives matter, because I know they are usually people who are ignorant of the cause in the first place. They don't understand that it's something to enhance black people, to make them feel, make them realize that they are important. They're saying this in response because they just need something to respond. They don't have a true rebuttal, so they have to come back with something nonsensical as all lives matter. The Black Lives Matter movement actually has been there for more causes of other people's lives as well. If they've been there for black people's lives, there was a young boy, a young white male who was killed by a police officer just out on the street, and the Black Lives Matter people were there protesting, but people with their All Lives Matter hashtag and signs were not there. So saying that Black Lives Matter doesn't say no one else's lives matter. It just means that we need to focus on the subset of people who have been degraded, denounced, stereotyped, killed, raped, murdered for no reason in the streets, just walking, minding their own business. All Lives Matter is just something so that people feel like they can be a part of a movement, but really if they were really a movement, they really would fight for everybody's lives.
I want to clarify that the Black Lives Matter movement, if you go on their website, which will be back up in 17 hours, says that it has an implicit two at the end, so Black Lives Matters too. So just like Jeremy had said, that it is about more than just the black lives that matter. It's about various things, but it's mostly focused on the fact that Black Lives Matters too. I want to go through some misconceptions of the movement. One misconception is that the movement doesn't care about black-on-black crime, and that is wrong. The idea that black-on-black crime is not a significant political conversation among black people is patently false. There are various organizations in the U.S. that speak to this. There are various movements that speak to this, and the Black Lives Matter movement is one of them that does address black-on-black crime. Its goal is to get into the communities, the black communities, and talk about crime problems and talk about what are the sociological factors of why there's black-on-black crime, as well as what about being in certain disproportional states, like a poorer community, education community, so less funding to schools. What about that leads to more crime? And one of the goals is to reduce violent crime, not just among the community, but of black perpetrators in general. Another misconception is that it's a one-issue movement, but it's not just about ending the police brutality or stopping the abundance of lives lost. It's also about fixing the failing education system of the public schools in America. It's about dismantling the prison industrial complex. It's about the incarceration of black and Latino people. It's about other significant problems like affordable housing, food security, reproductive justice, challenges that affect poor women of color more specifically than white women, and another misconception is that it doesn't care about queer or trans lives, when in fact that one of the statistics on their website, if you look in 17 hours, I'm going to keep pushing you guys to look in 17 hours, is about the national epidemic of the murders of trans women of color. So I also want to point out that the movement does not hate white people and it does not hate police officers. It's just pointing out in particular to police officers that there is a systematic problem with the way that police officers are put onto the force with training, lack of training, and with the lack of looking into their background as far as seeing if any of these people have a predisposition to not liking people who are of other races. So the next, speaking of police brutality, the next thing I want to talk to you, Jeremy, about is police brutality. So how, as a black person, how does the amount of murders via police officers in the last couple of years make you feel when you're walking down the street, whether at home or even on this campus?
Okay, so one thing I want to touch on is last few years. This has been going on for a century, over a few centuries.
Yes.
Now. The issue with it now is that we have social media. So everyone has a phone with a camera. So anything that is done can be uploaded in a few seconds. So it's not that it's been happening over the last few years. It's been happening for centuries. We just have the technology now to be on it as soon as it happens.
Correct.
So that's my thing with it. The U.S. has a tendency and almost a policy of sweeping things under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
So not as being brought to the light, it's still, the scary part to me is that it's not changing anything now that it's being brought to the light, because the infrastructure in the police system is that they are supposed to police, but their job is actually to protect and serve. They are not to brutalize. They are supposed to protect the citizens, and I think that has been lost in the infrastructure and teachings that go along in police training. Also, another thing that I have an issue with within police training is they are not trained to de-escalate situations anymore. They are, it seems as though their first instinct is to feel like they are being, if they are being challenged, that they have to answer that challenge with force. And that is an issue that can be solved by teaching police officers hand-to-hand combat. There are ways to detain people without hurting them. There are also ways to detain people without shooting them. There are ways to detain people without pulling your gun and or taser. Teaching de-escalation methods using words and tones the same way your parents tell you not to, you know, argue with your sibling, you know, use your words, don't hit them. That's the same tactic you can use to de-escalate a hostile person, even if, I would stick with the hostile person, because in most of these instances, these people are not hostile. It's just that they are perceived as hostile, or they are perceived as being insubordinate. But to be insubordinate, that means someone has to be superordinate, and that's not the case with police officers. They are public servants. So I think that ideology needs to be placed back into the police force. It makes me nervous walking around anywhere because I have a heightened sense of awareness. But what scares me the most is that I don't feel more stressed when I see someone dressed in baggy clothing who could possibly have a gun. What scares me more is that the police officer who's supposed to be protecting me, riding down slowly next to me, checking me out to make sure I'm not doing anything I'm not supposed to do. On one occasion that I had on campus, I was driving around Delaware, Ohio, and a police officer was tailing me pretty much. He tailed me from North Sandusky Street all the way into the parking lot of the residence hall that I was living in at the time for no reason. I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't breaking any laws. I wasn't speeding. All of my tags, insurance, license, all of that, all those things check out. So why was I being followed? And it's a term within the black community, DWB, driving while black. I was doing nothing wrong except that the color of my skin was darker than his. And that's an issue for me, because how am I supposed to call you when something does go wrong? How can I expect you to come to my rescue when you're checking me out when I'm not even doing anything wrong? So that also ties into like the infrastructure, why black people tend to try to handle things on their own. That's why I feel like a lot of things that could be subverted by police interaction happen because they don't want to call the police, because then they're going to get blamed for doing something wrong or put in the back of a car and put in handcuffs and be taken down to jail and booked for no reason, and then might not make it home because something happens to them while they're in the jail cell. So the whole infrastructure around the police mentality and brotherhood, because it's become a gang of sorts, has made it really unsafe just to be a human, and that scares me more than anything.
Yeah, in addition to that, we have seen it in media. I don't know how many people watch The Fosters, which is a wonderful show. So, yes, I'm promoting it, so you all should watch it. But The Fosters, in its recent season, has shown a clip of there was a child who was being fostered by a police officer, and he was a ride-along, and what happened was there was a domestic dispute at one of the houses, and the kid, he got out of the car, he was a black kid, and a police officer who came onto the scene immediately tackled him and handcuffed him, and it was addressed in The Fosters, this episode, which I will probably post a link to, but it is being talked about and addressed in media today. But at the same time, I know that throughout my whole life, 20 years of living, that since the time I was able to be independent and walk alone or walk the streets by myself, I've had to be more aware of the police. I've had to be more aware of different things that my white counterparts have not had to be aware of. And there's different things, like things I would say or things I would do that some people would see as overreacting, but it's not overreacting when it's the life that you have to live, not through an option, but you're being forced to live it.
I have one more point that's really important.
Go ahead.
Not all police officers are bad police officers. I just need to point that out. Some actually join the force to do good and to protect the citizens of wherever they're located. The issue of police brutality is I am focusing on the people who abuse their power and their status. But I just want to point that out, that not all police officers are bad police officers, and that
correct,
we don't have to fear them all, but you still have to be a little leery.
Yes.
Just because of the situation and occupation that they are in.
Right. And I know that one thing you wanted to talk about tonight was the sort of like ranking system we have of people in the U.S., and I want to make sure that we get to that. So I'll let you take the lead.
Okay. So somewhat of a Black Girl Studies minor on campus. So we talk about these things in class, and it's interesting to me how the hierarchy in this country works, and most people are aware of it. Some people are not because they don't want to be aware of it. Some people are just ignorant of it altogether. So, as you can guess, at the top, it would be rich white males in positions of power. They are ranked at the top of the hierarchy in our country. And then from there, it goes down, I would say, to rich white women in power. There's very few of them, but they are still ranked higher on the list. And as you get further and further and further down the list, it gets to black people eventually. Now, not sure how far down the list you would want to place them, but it gets to black people eventually. But at the same time, black people in the positions of power with money are still ranked lower than anybody in the white spectrum, pretty much, in terms of respectability and treating of their culture. On the list, and then within that, there's a stratification within the black community, which is more what I'm going to talk about. In the black community, we have a habit of placing black males above black females, and then placing homosexual people under women, and then people who are trans under that. And that is an issue because the people of trans need the most support, and we are degrading them more than anybody else within our own community, and it's disproportionate and it's wrong. They are people too. They have feelings. They have lives. They matter. And we need to make sure that we are uplifting the whole community within this movement that we're doing, just to make sure that as a whole, once we go to counter the oppressive people that have been holding us down for so long, that we can come as a community, we can come as a whole, that they can't find any flaws within our community to try to pick us apart. So that's more of what I wanted to talk on. So yeah, I just want really the black community to come together more. There are people within our community who, you know, shun their blackness. There are people in our community who try to just ignore it. There are people who are aware of it, and there are people who are super aware of it. I don't think that any one of those is wrong, but as a community, we need to come together and be sure that we are all on one front. You can live your life how you want to, but if you are truly about the embetterment of a group of people, you need to be a part of those people. You don't necessarily have to all dress the same, speak the same, listen to all the same music, eat the same food, but you need to let your brothers and sisters know that, hey, if something goes down, I'm here for you. If you're really, really willing to advance our people and get us to a point where we're not seen as lower than animals and killed as such, let's all band together and make a change, make a difference.
I will post some articles and or videos relating to the Black Lives Matter movement by 5 p.m. tomorrow on Chocolate Milk's page. And Jeremy, you can give me some articles or videos if you would like. And to end this discussion, I want to play some words from Steve Harvey's show. He recently had a segment called Are We Racist? And it was about the Black Lives Matter movement. So,
you know, but I understand exactly what you're saying. I really, really do. Look, I am the first one to tell you that all lives matter. I don't want this to happen to anybody's child. I'm a father. I have to tell my sons how to behave when they're stopped by the police, what to say when they ask for registration. I don't even let my sons tape their registration to the top of their dashboard so they don't have to go in the glove box. Oh man, it's crazy what I'm doing with my sons now. I went in my son's closet and took all their hoodies out. Because I just got tired of asking them not to wear no hoodie, man. Because I don't want to tell their mama that your baby ain't coming home because he had a hoodie on. So I took all the hoodies out their closet. If this were happening to everyone, if someone else's child went to the store and didn't come back for buying a pack of Skittles, if somebody else's child didn't come home because their music was too loud, if somebody else's child would not come home because they had a cracked tail light on a car, if anybody else's child would not come home because they got stopped by a traffic violation, went to jail and wound up hung, if it happened to anybody else, there would be no need for Black Lives Matters. What has to happen here is we need more non-African Americans to just imagine if this were happening to you. That's all they need. Just imagine somebody told you that your baby or your neighbor wasn't coming home for any one of those reasons I listed. That's what the Black Lives Matter campaign is about. That's all.
So like I said, I'm gonna post some articles or videos onto the page, and I'm turning it back over to Shelby for some music in the last couple of minutes of our show. Thank you, Jeremy, for coming out and talking on this important matter.
No problem at all.
All right, guys, so we have just a couple minutes left, so probably just enough time to play two more songs. So I'm going to go ahead and get on with them. This one, everyone should know. It is Hey Ya by Outkast.
1, 2, 3, My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure.
Just want to my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right,
on time.
It's tricky, it's uptight. Here we go. It's tricky to rock around, to rock around. That's right, on time. It's tricky. It's tricky,
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 tricky.
It's tricky to rock around, to rock around. That's right, on time. It's tricky.
Tricky,
tricky,
tricky. I met this little girlie. Her hair was kinda curly. Went to her house and bust her out. I had to leave real early.
All they just say is please me, or spend some time and rock a rhyme. I said it's not that easy.
It's tricky to rock around, that's right, on time, it's tricky.
How is it, Dave?
It's tricky,
tricky,
tricky.
It's tricky to rock around.
Thank you for tuning in to Chocolate Milk tonight. I hope you enjoyed our topic. I hope you enjoyed our guest speaker. And I really hope you enjoyed these sick tunes from long ago. Stay tuned for Somewhere Out There, the radio show after hours. And we will see you next week with a new topic and a new theme.
Well, our theme next week is, Tiana, go ahead and tell them what the topic will be next week.
Planned Parenthood and Women's Rights. Hopefully our campus chaplain, John Powers, will be here to speak with us.
And to go along with that, our music theme will be female artists. So
look out for some Whitney Houston.
All right, guys, enjoy your Tuesday night and have a good rest of the week.